Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
And then it was time for an absolutely wonderful Wednesday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff Byers. It's Scott Giese. It could be you.
Yes.
Part of the big show, all you would need to do is either stop in the studio with some wonderful baked goods.
You got to bring baked goods.
That would be fine. Or, you know, conceivably, you could just call in at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 allows you to join the big show this morning.
I don't know, the baked goods idea, I like that one. That's a good idea.
I
like that one.
Could not agree more.
So if you like to... No, folks, we're kidding. I don't do that. But the phone thing, that's a smart idea. Okay. So we got a busy show for you today.
Oh, do we have a busy show. Man, it's going to
I'll have a busy show.
It's going to seem like it flies by. I just have this feeling that it's going to fly by for me. I actually will be departing early. We have our extended sports segment that is in the second segment of the show each morning. So I will be here to go through the local sports scene, and then I'm vamoose.
Wow.
I'm out of here. Forget about it.
Wow.
I'll see y'all later. Heading down to Mill Hall for the semi-annual wrestling breakfast. And looking forward to it. A bunch of folks associated with the wrestling community. Lloyd Rhodes, Dick Rhodes, Tom Elling put this thing together. It is amazing. We get about a little over 200 folks from the wrestling community that show up. Former wrestlers, a lot of former coaches, some current coaches, all just get together in a very informal event, just have some breakfast, share some stories, share some laughs, and I have the extremely good fortune of hosting, emceeing the particular event. So looking forward to that. Again, we do it once in the fall and once in the spring, and today is the fall day, as it turns out. And so I am, again, out of here after our second segment this morning. And then I'm out of here early on Friday as well. Friday,
jeez.
I am emceeing the world-renowned Cougar Cat Run at Coral Street Elementary School.
I was going to say, I beg your pardon.
That gets underway. Well, I need to be, I'm not sure exactly when the first race gets underway. I need to get over there and be set up by 9:30, so I'm gonna probably skip out right around 9 o'clock on Friday, just to not put any undue stress on anybody involved with the event. Just to get there in plenty of time, and then we'll watch the kiddos race. It's a fundraiser for the Coral Street PTO, and it's a good time. Kiddos and teachers run as many laps as they can in, I think it's a 10-minute, might be 12, I think it's 10-minute time frame. But they do it with the various classes, and it's just a good time. So twice I have an early dismissal this week from the big show.
What's the name of this thing, Friday?
The Cougar Cat Run. The Coral Street Coral Street is the Cougars.
Okay, all
the tykes there are the Cougars.
All the Cougar moms are going to come out. You're in your element there,
bud. Boy.
Oh, ring the bell.
You're just trying to get
me
in.
He can't wait till Friday.
So a couple of other big things. I forgot in the final segment. My mind...
we're not going there.
Was never what it used to be.
No.
And so I intended to talk about this yesterday, a couple of things, although today actually makes more sense on the one. Last night, we had a really cool opportunity. So PAC 67 with the Cub Scouts, our kiddo is an AOL, an Arrow of Light, and getting ready to make the transition to Scouting America, formerly known as the Boy Scouts of America. And part of the curriculum this year is you got to learn a little something about construction, building. And it's like, wow, what kind of a construction project could we learn about locally that would be intriguing? Aha! Beaver Stadium, here we come.
Oh.
And a huge thank you to John Horn, who allowed us to see some really cool behind-the-scenes videos, the time-lapse stuff, the press box coming down. We learned a lot of really interesting things about the project that will continue over the next, what, 2 years. It'll finish up in October of 2027. It'll be completely complete by then. It'll be ready to go for the season opener on 2027. Just a couple of funny notes from that. At one point, somebody asked about the press box, and I had heard from some other folks about what was happening there, and he's like, well, the broadcast media, meaning like the networks and the, like Steve Jones, Jack Ham, they're going to stay on the side that they've always been and kind of be in the middle there.
So west side, yeah.
They are able to see the game as they always have.
Yes.
But Penn State doesn't really care that much about the print media, so they're just going to throw them over pretty much exactly where we're at this season, which is what I had heard was going to be happening. It's like, yeah, that's about right. So, confirmation on what we had been hearing as far as how the press box would be handled in the future. The couple of interesting notes, the lights, not surprisingly, if you watch, well, if you actually go to a state high game when it's working properly, or you watch some of these other college games, it's like a touchdown scored and you see all these bright flashing lights and it's like red and blue. Yep, Penn State will have all of that with the new lighting system.
Oh boy.
I did not know, and I'm not sure, I don't know how relevant it is in the overall scheme of things. Penn State's current lighting does not meet the broadcast requirements of the network.
Oh, is that right?
And basically, Penn State called the network's bluff. It's like, well, are you going to not cover our home games then? And it's like, well, no, we'll still cover them, but you're not up to specs, which I found interesting.
I watched the game on TV the other night. Looked fine.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
No,
yeah,
looked
absolutely fine.
Okay.
We'll go with that. They will meet specs, once the new lighting system, is in play. They'll surpass the necessary specs, in fact. I think I did hear this, but I had kind of forgot it, but the lower bowl on the west side is going to be the last phase of the project. Instinctively, that seems, are you talking about? How would you not? But they will finish the upper tier. Next year, by the way, is going to look even goofier than this year because you're going to have just the one section atop the, what will be the new luxury suites on the west side. So, and it's not going to cover all the way out on both sides. That'll take, just as this year took some getting used to, that'll take some getting used to. But they'll put in it'll be more like the Spike Stadium seats. So fold up seats. So you'll have, obviously, there will be less seating when the project is done, less capacity at Beaver Stadium, but the plan is a better fan experience, at least for those paying the big money. It'll still be the bleacher seating for the nosebleed seats, which is where the everyday folk might have a chance to get into the game in the future. Lots of interesting stuff, though. I did not know. I mean, it makes sense. I never really thought about it. But if there was a fire at Beaver Stadium, they do have the fire exits, and basically the tunnels that you go through are fireproof. They will withstand for 2 hours flames, engulfing them.
Good.
So you have 2 hours to get everybody out, which should be plenty of time if something crazy like that were to happen. But they put this fire retardant on, and actually if you look on the west side, there's a bunch of stuff covering the kind of the back end of the stadium. There is you're looking toward that west side from the outside. You see the canopies, and they are where they have chances when you have a couple of weeks off here. They are, that's what they're doing. They're working on getting the fire protective coating on the structure. It was a very interesting evening. They have these really cool robot dogs that can also walk the site and test different things. It's a pretty wild overall venture that they are conducting with this project. So, Scout Night at Beaver Stadium last night, huge success. Kiddos loved it. Adults loved it. I learned a lot. It was just a really interesting to see all of the different. They have these laser photographs, all kinds of lasers that are used to project the images, and so they know exactly where to dig down, how far to dig down, where everything needs to go, exactly what the points of entry should be, where everything should be. It's amazing the schematics involved and the technology now involved in those schematics. You think of the old days like 10 years ago, you had blueprints and everybody would bring out their rolls, and it's, all right, I think this goes here. Now they just have the laptops and the iPads, and it's like, all right, bring it up, and you can, with more precision than obviously a printed, because you can see the 3D, it's like, all right, well, this is exactly where this goes and how that goes. It's a pretty amazing process. That was last night, and then I did want to publicly acknowledge my father did his last day of the remote Sklo Library book pickups. There are about five locations, I think, where if you have checked out a book from Sklo Library, you can drop them off. A couple of the, I know the Weiss on South Atherton, the Giant on North Atherton, locations throughout the area. And it's like, yeah, you can just, they have a bin and you just can return your book there so you don't have to go to the library. And somebody has to pick those books up from the remote locations on a daily basis, 7 days a week. And for the last 26 years, that person has been my dad.
Oh, boy.
And finally, we were wondering if he would ever give that up, because it has been his baby, but he gave it up. The library gave him a really cool book bag that is, this is the last book bag you'll ever need. Congratulations. I'm paraphrasing on the wording on it, but it, really cool. And they actually got a proclamation from the from COG for the contributions to the center region with this particular duty over the last 26 years. So last day was yesterday was his last day of doing that, and that's been just a staple of his life. And kind of it's like, all right, for over visiting. It's in the afternoon. It's, all right, I got to get out of here. Got to go get the books. And then, he'd be back an hour and a half, 2 hours later. And so, yeah, just one of those little things that you probably don't think about. But he did that service again for 26 years and finally called it quits.
That's a yesterday. Worthy of a ring of the bell.
Yes, indeed.
Good, good, good.
So, yeah, we got lots going on. We got a big camping weekend coming up with scouts, too, this weekend. So,
what, robots pick up the books now? Or
Yeah, no, we have, we actually have
human
folks that we know are going to be taking over the duty, and I don't know if they'll be able to do it quite the way Pappy did it. Pappy had it down, baby.
Okay. All right. Get ready. At some point in the future, it'll be a robot. A robot car will show up. It'll pick it up. It'll dump the books in or something and then put it back
down.
Well,
I'll tell you, this robot dog was really fascinating. And they are, there's a more significantly more advanced robot dog that they'll have involved with the final couple of phases, but what it is wild what all it can do and how it can maneuver around different obstacles and again just test different things going on. And obviously it saves you from having to put a human out there in some precarious positions sometimes, and it can see more than a human because you can have the 360 camera on, so it's seeing everything kind of at once and is able to take pictures and take all kinds of measurements on, you know, detect the weight bearing, detect the amount of light, detect this, detect that. I mean, it is wild. I mean, I know all of this technology is out there, but to kind of hear and see directly how some of this stuff works, it's like, whoa, this really is mind-blowing.
Pretty cool
stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of next, this is like the Star Trek shows. Wow, this is really, really wild.
Now, can you throw a ball to the robot dog? Or
I'll tell you what, I would not be surprised. This thing can, yeah, turn on a dime. It can, and again, the one we saw is a significantly less version of what they'll have coming in. The one that they'll have coming in is basically autonomous. I mean, it can, the one they have, it's like they're controlling it. And you can do all kinds of neat stuff. This other one, you're like, all right, we need you to go 50 yards out and 50 yards back and maneuver around whatever you need to maneuver around. And boom, it just goes off and toot, 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 taking pictures the whole way, taking videos, walking around. And it just does it all on its own. You're not having to control a doggone thing. It's, to me, just wild, wild stuff.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. We do have a busy show. We also have a call there. We got a busy show. 9 o'clock, while he's eating. You ever notice, once again, food's involved?
Oh, we do.
Food is always involved. Our friend Elaine Beck from State College Food Bank's going to join me at 9 o'clock. Interesting timing. No state budget. Now no federal thing. I'm gonna have to ask Elaine, how are you getting your work done? Because all these government people are not doing things. So, no, I'm being a bit facetious there, but, the issues are there and getting worse. And so we're gonna get an update from Elaine on that, but let's take a call here.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Howdy.
Good
morning. We're doing well.
I already hear the liberals chirping. I hope these are shouter pets you're using.
Whoa, come again?
I hope this is going to be a shelter pet dog that's patrolling up there.
Shelter pet, yes. Shelter pet.
Okay. No purebred. We need rescues.
Here, here. We love the rescues.
Jeff, you probably have said it and I missed it this week or last. I'm assuming the wrestling schedule's out.
It is. Came out yesterday.
Couple days
yesterday
ago.
Or the day before.
Couple days ago, yeah.
Came out anything recently.
Anything of interest?
Three Jordan Center dual meets is probably the biggest news out of the schedule. So they'll wrestle Oklahoma in the season opener on November 14th, Nebraska in the final duel of January on the 30th, and Ohio State on Friday the 13th, Valentine's Day Eve. Those will be the three Jordan Center meets. So those are probably the, and obviously we already knew Penn State hosting the Big Ten Championships at the aforementioned Bryce Jordan Center.
What's the longest road trip?
Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Yep. They head to Wyoming to return the trip that Wyoming made in a year ago.
Wow. Well, sounds interesting. Still thinking top three?
I think they've got a shot. If everything breaks right, top five anyway. But they've got a shot.
Five.
Okay. I think we need to get that pool out there. Who's going to lose the first bout?
It'll probably be sometime in January. Just trying to put the pressure on.
Boy, that's harsh. Okay, ouch.
Yeah. I'm saying sometime in January. Okay, everybody healthy as far as you know?
Yep.
All right.
Yep,
sounds good.
Go.
I think we're okay. Maybe I'm hoping to live another 15 years. Maybe the rest of my life, I won't have to be worried about whether we're going to win the Nationals or not.
That's a weird feeling. All right. That's just weird.
Yeah. Well. I appreciate the phone call.
I mean, is there any other team you could actually say that about? Yeah. Next 10 years, I don't have to worry about Nationals. Really? What other team? What other sport? None. Zero. Zippo. None.
Yeah.
All right. Quick call
right
here.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Okay. This is a quick call. Hey, the Red Sox won last night.
Yeah, they did.
And as someone that's married to a Yankees fan.
I'm sorry.
That can't be easy.
Also, one of the things going on locally, across from the waffle shop on West College, they tend to be getting ready to put that Rutter's in. They just started clearing off the whole acreage and putting down runoff mitigation, and pretty soon there'll be piles of dirt there and a new gas station coming to town.
It's a process.
Woohoo! Get ready for a gas war. We can only hope.
We appreciate the phone.
Got to take a break.
Indeed.
All right. Yeah, get ready for a gas war. They have them in other places, not so much here. All right, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go away. We got our sports segment. Yeah, we might talk a little baseball. I watched some last night. Also, we got our guest Elaine Beck, State College Food Bank, some serious issues next hour, and some other stuff. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports. You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you as we're in bounce back mode for the Penn State football team and Nittany Lions looking to, as quickly as possible, put the whiteout loss behind them and move forward to, you know, the rest of the season and bigger and better things to come. Nittany Lions will be at UCLA Saturday afternoon. We were talking yesterday on the Goon and Ironhead show that probably really good timing for Penn State to go ahead and head out of town here with the natives being a little restless. Yeah, let's just get back to our core, our family in the locker room, and see if we can't start to right the ship out in Pasadena come Saturday. Again, 3:30 kickoff for the Nittany Lions and the Bruins on Saturday afternoon. A strong first half, allowing the Penn State men's soccer team to pick up a 2-0 victory over Robert Morris last night at Jeffrey Field. Kai Phillip and Ben Liscombe scored the Penn State goals in the first half. The Nittany Lions improving to 3-4-2 on the season. Robert Morris falls to 3-2-4 on the season. The Penn State men's golf team, pretty solid first couple of rounds at the Nemacolin Collegiate Invitational. Penn State, one of just six teams in red figures in the 19-team field. The Nittany Lions are in at 7-under heading into today's final round. Freshman Nick Warner had a good first day. He shot a 6-under 210 through the first two rounds. That is just two strokes behind Seton Hall's Jace Hollett. Also, that tournament will, again, wrap up today. As a team, again, Penn State finishing at 7-under, and the Nittany Lions back at it. No, that's not right. Yesterday would have been the final day.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah. Today is Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday.
Yeah, so yeah. This is, they finished up.
Okay, yes.
Is what happened here. Huh, I missed the Monday action. My apologies. Uh-oh. That's on me. Jackson Cerrone. I'm now looking at the scores. I'm like, well, that's not a two-round score. And it's not, because they would have finished three rounds. Because
yes.
It's Wednesday, not Tuesday, knucklehead. Remember, you're going to the breakfast on Wednesday. Jackson Cerrone. Good Lord. Pacing the Nittany Lions at Mystic Rock. He had a bogey-free final round and finished 2-under with a 70, and he finished the week tied for 15th in the 100 player field. I miss me. I remember when I used to be on top of
you
this
need
stuff.
You need breakfast. That's what you need.
It was a rough, frantic morning.
Let's plow forward. All right.
I use that as my excuse. Penn State track and field head coach John Gondak announcing the hiring of Michael Ashton, who will be the pole vault and men's high jump coach now for the Nittany Lions. Ashton coming to University Park after spending 2 years at Army West Point, where he also coached the pole vault and high jump, as well as the Maltese. While at West Point, he coached six Patriot League champions in the pole vault and high jump. Here's my prediction, though. As successful as he was there, I am predicting that Ashton will not coach a single Patriot League champion here at Penn State.
What?
So, I mean, yes. You know, it's a good track record. See what I did there? Track record?
Track record, ring.
See how that came together just the way I was intending?
Very punny.
Yes. But I don't think his success is going to carry over. I'll bet not a single Patriot League champion that he'll coach at Penn State.
That's a good guess.
I think that run will end, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Yes. Penn State men's tennis team will be hosting the Holmes Catherall Memorial Invitational this weekend. That'll be at the Sarnie Tennis Center, and that'll be the team's first match of the fall season. And, you know, this would be the right time to do it, well, with it being the fall season.
Yes.
You know, October is right there in the fall.
Thank you.
Happy October, by the way, to everybody.
Yes.
Katie Deesa, she's a really good goaltender for Penn State.
She's great.
So good that she's been named the Atlantic Hockey Association Goaltender of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 10th time in her career that she has picked up that particular honor. That is the first time this season that she has earned the honor.
Well, they just started.
Yeah, she did not win a single weekly honor in all of July or August.
Oh, for goodness.
But now, finally, she's picking
good.
It up.
Good, all right.
She picked up where she left off last season, leading the Nittany Lions to not one, but two ranked victories over ninth-ranked St. Lawrence. Last weekend, she posted a 15-save shutout on Thursday evening, making five of those against the Saints' power play. Not so much of a power play,
yeah,
was it?
Power.
They shut out the 14th of her career, and then on Friday, in the second and final game of the series, she made 21 saves on 23 shots, three of those stops coming on the power play late in the third period, as the Nittany Lions were able to thwart the St. Lawrence comeback bid.
They dominated those two games. They look really
good. Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, they...
Right out of the gate, they're looking good.
They are going to be worth keeping an eye on all season long. I do believe that to be the case. Major League Baseball playoffs got underway. Now, I've got to tell you, I am looking here, and I apologize. Our service is not what it once was. I am...
What?
I do not see the Pirates score anywhere here.
Oh, well. Buddy.
I'll keep digging for that. For some reason, the service that we use for our Major League Baseball scores... I don't see the Pirates anywhere. Did they have a first round bye? The Phillies,
yes.
The Phillies aren't there, but that's because they're
right.
They're into the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, the Pirates have a first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round bye. Yes.
They're bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, here are the Major League Baseball playoff scores. So we'll start with last night's game because some of you may not have been able to make it to the end, like me. But you really didn't need to. It was pretty apparent pretty early on. Shohei Ohtani hit a home run, and really the Dodgers never looked back. 10-5 was your final, the Dodgers over the Reds. Also last night, the Yankees rallied from a 1-0 deficit, and the Red Sox rallied to beat the Yankees. Red Sox rallying from a 1-0 deficit, and Boston wins it 3-1. Does the heart good to see the Yankees. It stinks to not have the Pirates in it, but the fact that the Mets aren't in it and the Yankees could make an early exit, I can live with it.
You're a happy dude.
I can live with it.
Happy dude.
The Tigers beat the Guardians 2-1 yesterday, and the Mad Turtle not happy. The Chicago Cubs in Wrigley beat the San Diego Padres 3-1. Pitchers that throw 100 miles an hour plus are fascinating to the Mad Turtle and I, especially when you can do it on the 117th pitch that you're throwing in the game. Pretty remarkable stuff yesterday for the Cubs. Game two, all four of those series are best of three. So the Tigers, the Cubs, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers, with wins today, advance to the second round. The Guardians, the Padres, the Yankees, and the Reds need victories to force a decisive Game 3 in the respective series tomorrow. So today's action looks like this. Again, Detroit up 1-0. They will be at Cleveland, 108. First pitch.
This 08 thing,
Padres at the Cubs. They're going to do that thing in Wrigley Field, I guess. 3:08 will be the start there. And then come on, Boston. Red Sox will be at the Yankees at 6:08. And then the Reds will be at the Dodgers. That's the late game, 9:08. I might make it through the first inning. Possibly even two.
That's all I saw.
Quite possibly not any of it. I'm going to be tired.
Too much
tonight.
Breakfast. Yeah.
We've got a big day. And again, if needed, game three in each of those series would be Thursday, and then the second round, the divisional series in the Major League Baseball playoffs will get underway on Saturday. And it'll be the Phillies and the Brewers having home games in the National League, the Blue Jays and the Mariners having home games in the American League when Saturday rolls around. Have we mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers are by themselves atop the AFC North?
Woo-hoo-hoo!
And they're not going to lose this week. I have never been more confident in the Steelers not.
Oh, it's that bye week thing.
Yes, indeed. So... now, a little bit of news. At the moment, it doesn't seem significant. Hopefully, it won't become significant because hopefully Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. But Will Howard, among the players eligible to return from the injured reserve list. They haven't taken him off, but he is now eligible to come off the IR. So keep an eye on that during the next week and a half for the beloved Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
And I think that is what I have.
All right.
From the world of sports.
All right.
A little bit of a scramble this morning. I'm not going to kid.
All right. Few things.
Yeah.
Again, let's start with baseball. And it happened again last night.
Yeah, what did it have?
And you would think these managers are allegedly smart. Okay.
Yeah, they are allegedly are.
I concentrated last night on the Yankees Red Sox game
because
it was from like 6 to 9 p.m.
Awesome. Perfect.
Okay. Yankees are up 1-0. Max Fried for the Yankees has thrown a good game. And Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, pulls him. And I'm like, buddy, why are you doing that?
Get him out of here.
Would you let him alone? Let him pitch. He wasn't in trouble. Nothing like that. What was it? The blah, blah, blah. Eighth inning, he gives up a fly ball for an out. And then he gets pulled. And what happens? The relief pitcher comes in and gets shelled. I mean, the Red Sox score 3 runs. And the Yankees fans are probably just livid. I would be, not a Yankees fan. Just like, why did you do it? Then the Red Sox did it. All right, then the Red Sox go into the ninth inning. Their guy, his name escapes me now. But you mentioned he was up to like 100 pitches, and he's still throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
Holy fright. But they lifted him and brought on Aroldis Chapman. Now, he's a fireballer, okay? The problem is, the first 3 Yankees he faces all get hits.
Yep.
And they load the bases with nobody out. And I'm thinking, why didn't you let your other guy in the game? He clearly wasn't tired. All right? He's still throwing 100.
Now, with the bases loaded and nobody out, how many runs did the Yankees go on and score there?
Chapman, I don't know, pulled himself together or whatever and got the next 3 outs.
0.
I mean, next 3 outs in the game.
Oh, it was a beautiful thing.
I don't understand this. Let's go to the bullpen. If your starter's doing okay, let him go. This is the old days. That's what we used to do in the old days. Let the guy throw a complete game. All right? He's not going to throw again for like a week. Just let him go. And both teams did it last night. It burned the Yankees. It almost burned the Red Sox. I do not understand.
You didn't see the Pirates pulling their starting pitcher, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah.
I mean, the Pirates didn't pull their starter.
Yeah.
Got to give them credit for that.
Go back to sleep, all right?
I guess.
I was actually catching part of your show with that goon fella yesterday.
Yeah.
And as I was listening, just a question came to mind.
Yeah.
Just an open-ended question, and it's simply, are there any major college football head coaches sleeping well tonight? What? Because you folks, you guys were kind of talking about that.
Not many.
I'm not sure if any. Now, maybe Dan Lanning for Oregon. He's probably sleeping well.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, at least for the time being. But that could change in just a couple of weeks. I think Kurt Cignetti's sleeping pretty well in Bloomington. I don't think there's
okay.
They are amazed at what is happening with their basketball school there. So that I think he is sleeping very, very well.
Now those two teams
probably as well as anybody.
I don't have a schedule in front of me. They play each other in like 2 weeks.
Just 2 weeks.
Okay,
yep.
That'll be a very interesting game. I think the game is at. I think it's at Oregon.
It is at Oregon.
It's at Oregon.
Yeah.
All right. So I think Indiana is going to get their comeuppance.
Yeah. There are some other coaches that are off to very good starts, but I don't know. I mean, it'll. I think they know that like Mike Elko is feeling very good at the moment at Texas A&M, but with their schedule, like they're 2 games away from feeling really, really bad. And so. Like Indiana, I think Kurt Cignetti's sleeping very well. They could lose some games, and it's like, well, yeah, but we went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
We got off to the start we did this year. I mean, we're good. This is magical time for the Hoosiers. I mean, even Dan Lanning, yeah, feeling great at the moment, and yeah, they're not going to get rid of them. But again, you're in the Big Ten, a couple of losses away from, hey, what's going on? This place is, we're falling apart. We just looked like national title contenders. And now, so you're always, except for the places where, like Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I don't even know their coach's name. They're sleeping pretty
well. Okay, yeah, they're right okay, now. That guy.
But there's not many. I understand your
Yeah,
point.
How about and, yes. that? All right. I think Oregon runs the table.
Clark Lee. Thank you.
All right. I think Oregon runs the table. They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Michigan. They play Indiana. And then, if I'm correct, the rest of their schedule is like, they're gonna kill them. So I think Oregon runs the table now. The big game for them was Saturday night. And,
yeah.
and maybe Indiana. I'm sorry. I'm still not sold on Indiana. Just not.
Not a believer in the Hoos.
No, I'm sorry. Just not.
Cignetti will make you a believer.
They blew it. Iowa blew that game Saturday. They blew it.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon will be favored in the rest of the games. They have some potential.
Which one?
Traps. At Iowa, and that is just, Kinnick is... You talk to the players. I was listening to LeVar a little bit on the on ESPN on game day Saturday, and he's like, man, people don't understand. Like, that place, even when Iowa is bad, and they're not bad this year, but it is just – that is a funky place to play. And they're at Iowa, and that'll be in November, so you don't know what you're getting weather-wise. That one is a little dangerous. And then they're home with USC and at Washington in the final two games of the year. Part of it, that Washington quarterback is something. They've got a little something brewing there. And that is a potentially dangerous game. And USC will keep an eye on. A very talented team. I just don't know. That defense, Lincoln Riley just has not been able to get that side of the ball figured out. But yeah, I mean, they'll be favored. Oregon will be favored pretty substantially in most of the remaining games. They'll be favored in all of them and substantially in most.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, interesting schedule for them.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. You've got to go eat breakfast.
Forget about it.
Now, folks, don't you go anywhere.
No.
All right?
You stay right where you're
very
at.
Very newsy things to talk about. Again, Elaine Beck, State College Food Bank. Issues there, not with Elaine, not with the food bank, just in general. This fall is going to be challenging, really is. And maybe you are among those being challenged, if you know what I mean. So we have some important topics to discuss. Don't go anyplace. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. Ryan Rackney here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm.
So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, where they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
I would say this is a beautiful day in the Valley of Happiness. Looking out our big window, big blue sky, sunshine, cooler temperatures. Yeah, what we call boring weather. I've never been so happy to be bored. Scott with you here. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Yes, once again, the Ironhead, he is on assignment for the rest of the show or morning. And again, food is involved. It's always food. Where's my bell? All right, it's always food with that guy. I go out and I'm working hard. He gets food. Anyway, bring me back a doggy bag here, bud. All right, thank you very much. Now, don't do that. It'll be bad by tomorrow morning. Don't do that. All right, we got a few minutes of open line time if you'd like to chime in at 814-954-7266. Again, we're expecting our friend Elaine Beck, State College Food Bank, is going to join me here in about 10 or so minutes. I don't think I'd want Elaine's job right now, especially here on October 1st. We're still waiting for a state budget. Okay, there's issues there. And now, of course, if you somehow don't follow news, we officially have a federal government shutdown. Ooh, well, in some cases, maybe. And so if you somehow, we'll ask Elaine this question, if somehow they get like state funding or they get federal funding where everything is like, stop. And I know school districts are, state budget was supposed to be passed 3 months ago. Still waiting. No movement, no nothing that we know of. And so for folks that get some kind of state funding, it's like, stop. And you've got to, like, shift money around, and you've got to do some creative accounting and all this sort of thing, which I'm sure is driving school officials crazy, along with anybody else that gets some kind of state funding. It's like, okay, how much longer do we have to wait? It's been 3 months. Well, now we have a federal government shutdown. And we'll have some open line time later in the 9 o'clock hour after we have our guest. I'll throw out a few things about this federal government shutdown. Probably the biggest question is simply, okay, how long is this going to go? All right, the last federal government shutdown was in 2018. Now, who was president? Oh, yeah, Donald Trump. Oh, I sense a theme. There we go. That one
lasted for 5 weeks, which, if I'm correct, is the longest federal government shutdown ever. It went for 5 weeks, which means a lot of things kind of went on hold for a five-week period. Now, that was in 2018. This is 2025 now. Things are significantly different. Yes, amazingly, it's the same president. How'd that happen? All right. But the situation is really different. And so could this go 5 weeks? I mean, again, if you follow news, the two sides are far apart. They're at loggerheads. So, again, the folks that are caught in the middle, for the most part, are federal government employees. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they're the folks, you know, you got the old rock in the hard place. And they're right between the two. So this is not a good time here in the month of October 2025 to be a federal government employee. Except for some. Post office is not going to close. They're going to go as they've always gone. Military, no change. Social Security, Medicare, no change. Medicaid, for now, no change. Let's see, who else? TSA, all right, if you go flying. Now, it's interesting. I've seen a couple different stories that says, okay, TSA will go on as they've always done, so okay. But the stories say, expect longer lines. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. If they're all at work, why is there going to be longer lines? That doesn't make any sense if they're not being furloughed or fired. Now, again, there's, and we could cover this later on. I mean, there's interesting angles here coming from all directions. Could Trump and friends use this incident or this time to literally fire federal government employees? Well, the answer is, yeah, they could. And if the idea is, and some people believe this, and I'll be honest, Scott, here, I believe this, federal government's too big. All right, we have too many employees. I mean, just over too many years, it's like they added more and more and more and more and more. Can you really get by with fewer people? I think the answer is, I think in some cases, yeah, you probably could. All right, you could get by with fewer people. Now, I feel for those folks that would lose a job. I really do. I mean, that's terrible. But the problem, again, all of this federal government talk that you're going to see in the news, the cable channels, all this sort of thing, there's one simple thing you've got to remember. We have a $2 trillion annual federal deficit. Every single year, they're $2 trillion short. We cannot continue doing that. We shouldn't have been doing that to begin with. But yet, you know, federal government being what it is, more, 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 more. All right, more spending, more borrowing, more debt. Bum, 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 bum. We can't continue down that road. We've got to stop it. Now, the question is, how? Ah, devil's in the details, right? So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But, you know, here we go. Yes, unfortunately, the bills are still going to be in your post office box or mailbox when you get home today. All right. Sorry. Or the junk mail and other stuff. But for some folks, it's like, okay, no state budget, federal government shut down. I mean, it's just like boom, boom from different ends. Ooh, crazy, crazy stuff. Let's go lighthearted here before we take a break. All right, now we've had fun the last couple of days. Maybe you've done this yourself. All right, Fat Bear Week at this park up in Alaska. This is something that they do, they've done for about the last 10 years. Again, this is Alaska now, not here. And they're getting ready for winter in Alaska. By the way, I saw something, was it Fairbanks, Alaska, I think? Where they had snow the other day. They had snow in Fairbanks, Alaska the other day. Now you might think, well, it's Alaska. Okay, apparently even for Fairbanks, I think it's Fairbanks, getting snow at the end of September apparently is quite rare. That normally does not happen. And yet, now they didn't get a lot, they didn't get a pounding. They got like a, not a dusting, but like, I don't know, an inch or two. And according to the one story I saw, yeah, it's probably going to melt away. But it's interesting that we get our first snow this early for them.
And I thought, okay, is this a harbinger of things to come? We'll have to keep an eye on that. But Fat Bear Week wrapped up last night. Now, maybe you went online and voted. All right, this is just a fun thing. They got down to the two final bears, and what people were supposed to do is go on a website and vote for, I guess, their favorite bear. Now, this was against, and again, the bears, they sort of have names. You have bear number 856, and he was taking on bear called 32 Chunk. And the question is, who wins the Fat Bear Award? And the winner was 32 Chunk. Now, we talked about this yesterday, and I said, I think I like 32 Chunk. All right, and it turned out he was the winner, I would say, by a significant margin. I'll round off here, 96,000 votes to about 64,000 votes. Now, by the way, add those up. That's 160,000 votes. All right, a lot of people have fun with Fat Bear Week. But 32 Chunk, buddy, you are clearly ready for hibernation. He has won the big award. I don't know if he gets anything for his award. I don't think he does. But congratulations to Chunk 32. All right. If you're looking for something this morning, now we mentioned this last week. Today, of course, is October 1st. Yes, October 1st. Whew, okay. Today is National Coffee with a Cop Day, if you are so inclined. Now, maybe, I'm not sure, maybe every police force out there is doing something this morning. I only have two here in our neighborhood. State College Police are doing coffee with a cop this morning from 10 to 11:30. That's at the State College Municipal Building, which is downtown. And so you go there and you have a cup of coffee and you can talk to cops. Okay, all right. I think they have snacks beyond just coffee. So if you're inclined, you don't have to just be from State College. I guess anybody can go from 10 to 11:30. Now, Penn State is, I noticed, is in this gig. Now, Penn State Police, of course, are not just here. You got all those branch or Commonwealth campuses, and of course they have, you know, police there and so on. They're doing something, it says here, at 22 different campuses, which is essentially all of them, pretty darn close. Here at University Park, if you know where Redifer Commons is on campus, the Penn State Police are doing coffee with a cop, giving away coffee and snacks this morning from 9 to 11 at Redifer Commons, okay? And then at all these other different branch campuses, they're doing something. Now, other local police, like I said, I maybe they're doing something, and I missed it. I didn't see it. But if you want to have coffee with a cop and talk to them, you know, ask them questions and stuff, here you go. Today's your day, all right? So for the Penn State one, 9 to 11, what you should do is keep listening to this program till 10 o'clock. And then when we're done at 10 o'clock, hey, let's go have coffee with a cop. All right, or the State College Police version. I'll let that to you. All right, there we go. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Plenty of newsy things to talk about, some heavy issues that maybe, like I said, for some folks, they might be starting to pull their hair out because this is, I've said before, I've changed my tune or changed my line. Instead of we're living in crazy times, we're living in dangerous times. And I'm being very serious when I mention that. Just lots of different things kind of floating around out there. So let's take our break here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere on a beautiful Wednesday. We will come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
WFXX, once again, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox State. Hey, if he's not here, I'm playing classical music, and I don't care. Right? He's not here. He gets to play all that frou-frou stuff that he likes to play. Hi, friends. Scott here with you, and I like classical music. Come on, you remember this, don't you? Elaine, you remember this?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Hooked on classics. All right, yes. Let's talk here for a Wednesday morning, and we're going to welcome back our friend Elaine Beck from State College Food Bank. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Wearing your pumpkin suit.
I'm ready. It's October 1st.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. There we go. Wearing your pumpkin suit. All right. That's fine. By the way, folks, we'll have some open line time later on in the 9 o'clock hour here. You've been with us, obviously, a couple of times before. For folks, maybe they're brand new listeners. We add them every day, or at least we dream they do. They're out there.
I bet you do.
Let's start with some background, if we could. Tell us about yourself, and tell us about the State College Food Bank, who you serve, how big you are, and so on. Go ahead.
So I'm the executive director at the State College Food Bank. I've actually been there over 8.5 years. And seeing our organization through a lot of transition, and we're still in a bit of transition. So I think the last time I was here, maybe I was talking about our move. So we moved, it was a year ago, April, this past April, that we moved into our new facility. So we serve all of Center County now. We are a food pantry and a food distribution center for the county. So we're not only serving clients and people with grocery distributions, we're also helping other service agencies and other pantries throughout the county with their food needs. We serve on average about 550 households a month. My guess is that number is about to start going up. And we work really closely with a lot of other social service agencies in the county, like Center Volunteers of Mezzan, Housing Transition, Center Helps, those types of things. But our main goal is to make sure no one in Center County is going hungry, and that's what we work and strive towards every day.
All right. This lady's reading my mind. I've got questions here. She remembers numbers about to go up, and my next question is numbers going up?
Yep. Yeah.
Why?
So I think a few things have happened, at least for us. The transition was a big move for us. We were at capacity in our old building, and we just couldn't serve more people. So we knew there was more need, but we didn't have the ability to serve them. So by opening our doors to a bigger facility, we could serve more people and really open up our services to the entire county. So I think that's a piece of it for us. I also think the world we're living right now is just harder, right? Food is more expensive, and while it's not as expensive as it was a while ago, it's still kind of yo-yoing, right? Like, if it's not eggs, it's bread, and if it's not bread, it's laundry detergent, and right? So that yo-yo of kind of pricing and going to the grocery store is just harder for everybody. I mean, it's harder for my family, right? I'm sure your budget looks different too. Like, food is just more expensive. So if you're already living in a house or on a paycheck to paycheck monthly, having to purchase food is a lot harder. Electricity costs are going up. So just the basic cost of living has increased a lot recently. So I think there's more and more people recognizing that they need help.
All right. Where are you located? I'm not sure you mentioned that before.
Oh, we're on Gerald Street. So we're off Benner Pike. Like, if you're driving towards the Nittany Mall, we're up behind Burger King.
Right. Top of the hill.
Yep.
Behind the Burger King. Mm-hmm. All right. There we go. I mean, Elaine, today and the times we've talked to before, I feel fortunate. I've never needed food help. And I don't see that in the foreseeable future. But some folks, I mean, who are these folks? Without getting too personal.
Yeah.
Like, who comes to you?
Oh my gosh. Hunger doesn't have one face, right? Everybody needs food, and it's a basic human need. So we see people. We have a handful of unhoused individuals that come through our pantry weekly to get food. We have families who have kids, working parents, and they're just living paycheck to paycheck and trying to support their family and have a good life. But, you know, one bad thing, they don't have a savings account to fix the roof on their house or put tires on their car or put braces on their kids or, you know, and they find themselves slowly slipping into a lot of debt, right? And that can pile up and isn't a great thing to start accumulating. So we have seniors, you know, who are single households that are just on a fixed income. We have a couple seniors, not a couple, we have quite a few that are on a fixed income and now are having a lot of health issues. So on top of their fixed income, they're having to pay more medical bills, and that those are not getting covered fully. We were literally just talking about this earlier this week in one of our staff meetings. We're seeing an increased need for clients who need incontinence products. And those are, again, I realize it's not food, but those are things that you can't really live a great life without, right? And
right.
If it's not getting covered and you're having to pay for Depends, you're not having the money you would normally spend to purchase food, right? And typically, most people, the first thing they cut when their budget is tight is their food, because it's the easiest thing to see the quickest impact, right? Like, turning your thermostat down it helps, but you don't see the impact in your bank account as quickly as if you bought store brand white bread versus the whole grain bread you're used to eating, right? Or something like that, right?
All right. All right.
Or fresh produce versus a canned produce, like a canned fruit, vegetable. So it's everybody. It's such a wide range. We have single parents. We have single people. We have just couples. We have, but a lot of times I think it is, there's something going on, right? It's a health reason or extra expenses in their life, or they're taking care of, we have some of those like sandwich generations, right? Where they're taking care of their kids, but they're also taking care of their parent, and they have to take care of themselves. And it's really hard.
Yeah. Now, again, I'm fine, but I assume I can't drive up to your place today and say, hey, I'd like some food. That's not the way it works. Right? I couldn't do that.
You could. We don't turn anybody away the first time they come through our door. I think if you showed up, we would have a lot of questions to figure out what's going on and why you were at our pantry in the first place. We never want to turn anyone away. That doesn't mean that we're just willy-nilly giving out food. We firmly believe that if for every 30 people we're serving, maybe one person is trying to get food when they don't need it, it's worth it for those other 30 people who really need it to feel welcome and safe and able to come to our pantry. So we do have some checks and balances in place, right? Everybody that comes to our pantry has to get a referral. So if you came in, we would talk to you. We probably would give you some food because that's what we do, and we don't want anyone to leave without food. That's just how we are as people. And then we would refer you back to an agency. So let's say you came in, we would say, please call Center Helps or call Center Volunteers in Medicine. And those programs have case managers. And those case managers are really trained to assess the whole situation. And they might be able to say, you know, I'm not really sure you need food from the food bank. Maybe you need this. Or it seems like you don't have any housing, right? And that's why you... So they take the time to figure out the whole picture of what's going on with people. And then they can help solve the whole picture instead of just the food piece.
Yeah, I was going to say, a question I had down is, do you ever turn anybody away? I mean, has there ever been a situation like I described, like, okay, that guy really doesn't need help. He's fine. What's he doing here?
Yeah. In 8.5 years, I don't think we've had one person that I felt was just there.
Good.
For fun to get food from the food bank. Most of the time, there's something going on, and I don't think you can judge a book by its cover when it comes to food insecurity. We have a lot of people that have nice cars. If you own your car, why would you sell it if you're hurting for food, right? Like, because you need your car to get to work. And then if you can't go to work, you can't get your paycheck. And if you can't get your paycheck, you're only making your job and life harder, right? So I think there's a lot of just... It's dominoes, right? Like, there's so many pieces in play. You can't just look at one piece of it and assume someone has it all together. You don't really know. But I firmly believe that every person coming through our pantry needs the food that they're receiving.
Now, you folks open like 7 days a week. When are you open?
We're only open Monday, Wednesday. I say only. We're open Monday, Wednesday, Friday afternoon. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year or so we have some more hours open too, just because we're serving more people.
Who works at the food bank?
We have 5 staff, 4 full-time, 1 part-time, and then we have over 100 weekly volunteers that come in to help us. They are the heart and soul and the lifeblood of our organization. We would be dead in the water without them. So we are very fortunate that this community not only supports us financially, but with their time.
Okay. So you're open Monday, Wednesday, Friday afternoons.
Yep.
So today's Wednesday.
Yep.
All right. So you're open this afternoon.
We sure are.
All right. Boy, I'm smart. That's really good. Where's all the money for this come from, Alay? I mean, do you guys just, do you go out on farms and pick food, or is like, where does all this stuff come from?
It's all coming from a bunch of different places. So right now what's happening at the food bank is some of our volunteers are there, and we've got guys out on the van. They're picking up at our local grocery stores. So we are, getting food at multiple stores, Wegmans, Giant, Weiss, Aldi, Walmart, Target, Sam's Club throughout the week. We're at different stores. And we're picking up produce that they're pulling off their shelves. Maybe it's all perishable. Breads, meats, things that they can't sell because A, for quality, or B, maybe it's just about to expire and they got a new shipment, so they're going to pull the old stuff out and put the fresh stuff on. They give it to us. And we have volunteers right now as we speak who are sorting through that food to keep this good stuff, right? Like maybe it's a bag of apples and there's one rotten apple and then the rest are really good. We're going to keep those really good apples and compost the rotten one. So they're sorting through that produce. They're sorting through the bread to pull out anything that might be moldy, but most of it isn't, and getting it ready for this afternoon. So a lot of our perishable stuff is coming from the grocery stores or local farmers. We get food from everything being grown at the Arboretum comes to us too. So...
Okay.
That's lovely stuff that the Arboretum gives. We have local growers, you name it. That's where our produce is coming from. We also purchase it locally from other farmers.
I was going to say, these folks are giving it to you or you're purchasing it?
The grocery stores are giving it to us. We do purchase things. So we realize we are set up like a grocery store. When you come in, it's not a pre-packed distribution. You go through and go shopping. And because of that, we want to make sure we have inventory in all those sections, right? We want to make sure we have soups and vegetables and canned meats and beans and cereal and all that type of stuff. So we do purchase things to offset our inventory from what we get from the community. So we receive over hundreds of thousands of pounds of food from our community annually. That food gets put on the shelf, and let's say we only have tomato soup, we might go buy some chicken noodle soup. right? So we have a variety. Or if we only have diced tomatoes, we might buy some spaghetti sauce type of thing to kind of add variety. Same with meat. Like, the grocery store is giving us a lot of meat, but we always want to make sure that we have, like, ground beef available and small packs of chicken available. So we would buy and supplement what we're getting from the grocery store. We're also purchasing milk and eggs and cheese to make sure we have those every time that someone comes. So we're getting donations from grocery stores, we're getting donations from the community, and then we're using donor dollars to supplement that food to round out what we're offering people.
Okay. Quick aside, I was at a grocery store yesterday.
Okay.
Two things. In the corner of this grocery store, they have items, usually baked good items, that have hit the sell-by date. And so the store pulls them off their regular shelf because they've hit the sell-by date, and they put it in this corner. And usually it's marked down like half price. Okay. Although the one I picked up yesterday, I'm looking at the late tag. I'm like, okay, the price on the late tag is actually higher than the actual price. And I take it to the front of the store, and I said to the guy there, I'm like, okay, this is weird. You're increasing the price? And we all had a laugh, like, okay, no, that's a mistake. All right. Yeah. Sorry, sir, blah, 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 blah. But I just wondered how much stuff you folks actually have to purchase rather than, okay, here it is.
I don't have that, like, exact number off the top of my head, but I would say it's probably, at the end of the day when you're looking at it, it's probably a good 50% of what we're giving out is having to be purchased.
Okay. Purchased at like a reduced...
From all different kinds of places. So we purchase from the grocery stores. We purchase. We partner really closely with Central Pennsylvania Food Bank, which is not us. They're like, I like to describe them as the United Way of food banks.
Right.
They're out of Williamsport and Harrisburg, and they're a partner of ours. Because of that partnership, we're actually able to pick up at all those grocery stores. That program is through Feeding America, and they manage that program for the state of Pennsylvania. And then we have some wholesalers out of Altoona we purchase from. So we, even just this morning, I'm pretty sure our operations manager is out shopping right now as we speak, price checking things because she needs to order some stuff for our holiday food. So we take our time to kind of go figure out who has the best price on candy, yams, and stuffing, and then we will order directly from the store.
Actually, there's a thought. Now, I've made a donation or two in the past to all these. There's Feeding America, which is a national organization.
Correct.
All right. Then there's the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank, which is sort of a regional or state organization. Harrisburg, Williamsport, I think they're in Hollidaysburg now.
Yeah, they serve like 32 counties in Pennsylvania, and it's pretty much like the central part. Like, if you split Pennsylvania into three, like a trifold, they would be that middle section.
Okay. So there's the national group, there's the sort of regional group, and then there's you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys are like interconnected somehow? Or?
Yeah, it's all food-related connection, right? So Feeding America works nationally with all these grocery stores, right? There's Walmarts everywhere. And Walmart gets some kind of tax incentive for donating their food instead of throwing it away,
right?
So we all like to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. So the stores have to report back to Feeding America, and then the agency that's receiving the food has to report back that what they're giving and what they're getting are the same thing, right? So Feeding America, understandably, doesn't want to have to work with hundreds of thousands of small nonprofits who are picking up. They pick kind of a regional person to direct that, and then those people kind of deal with all the little tiny pantries that are picking up the food. So we report up to Central Pennsylvania Food Bank, and Central Pennsylvania Food Bank reports that information back up to Feeding America.
All right. Interesting interconnection.
Yeah, okay. But they also are a great support. I can't speak highly enough of Central Pennsylvania Food Bank. They helped us with our move. They are donors of ours. We're able to purchase at a discounted cost. All our milk and eggs and cheese we purchase through them at a discounted rate. So, and they partner with us. We're going to be doing, hopefully, another drive-through. We've been doing drive-through Thanksgivings with them that they help collaborate with and partner and provide food and split that cost with us. So.
Oh, yeah, that Thanksgiving thing. Yeah, that's kind of coming up here shortly, isn't it? Yeah. So I'm at the supermarket yesterday, and I walk by or walk past the beef or meat aisle. And I thought, oh, I got this new recipe with beef. I'm like, I'd really like to try this. And I'm looking at the prices of the beef, and I'm thinking, okay, I think I'll do a chicken dish instead. I mean, just do you know why? Why is the price of beef ridiculous right now?
I have no idea.
You don't have no idea?
I don't know. I don't know.
But you have to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, we have the same, right? So we're serving more people, like I said earlier, but it's also costing a lot more to feed all those people, just the sheer price of having to purchase that food. It's just all going up.
Now, I mean, you mentioned all those stores that give you things. Is beef? They give you beef?
They do. So I've not looked in the freezer this week, so I don't know if we're like heavy on chicken and low on beef or heavy on beef, or right? But what happens is, so those, all that meat has like a use by day, right? And if it doesn't get sold by that date, most stores, some of them do what you were describing with the bread, right? Like they reduce it and try to get it out of there. But a good chunk of them throw it in their walk-in freezers, and then we come pick it up. So it's been frozen on that use-by date, and it's good for 6 months past that date if it's kept frozen.
Okay.
So
I was going to ask that question.
Yeah, it's good for 6 months, plus, depending on how it's been frozen, right? Certain things, like if we're keeping them in our freezer, our big, huge walk-in deep freeze, that the life of that can get extended a little bit longer than like a regular freezer at your house. But I would say 6 months past that best by date is a good rule of thumb. So I'm not sure what they're giving to us. So I guess it's possible that if people aren't buying beef, it's coming to us if it's not selling.
Okay. Yeah, I think we've mentioned this before. I think a lot of people get confused by those sell-by dates. It's like, uh-oh, past that date, this is bad. No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily, no. And we keep things, we keep dry goods a year plus past their best-by date. We don't use them as part of a regular distribution because everybody's coming to us to supplement going to the grocery store. So what we want to make sure the food they're getting from us is the same quality they would be getting at the grocery store. But we recognize dry goods with the best by date 2 months out are still, right, pasta. If it's kept at the right temperature, it's good. Same with a can of soup or a can of green beans. So we save that and give it out as bonus so people can take that if they would like it.
What about eggs and milk?
We're more picky about those best by dates. Those best by and use by dates, I think, they don't have quite the same stretch. You're probably up to five, but
nobody's figured out how to
smell that milk before you drink it.
Nobody's figured out how to freeze an egg yet.
I don't think so.
I'm being slightly facetious, but I'm thinking, boy, it'd be neat if you could freeze eggs and keep them for a while.
I mean, I'm by no means a chef or a nutritionist, but I could see where you could scramble them and maybe freeze them, like if you whipped them up.
Oh.
Right? If you scrambled them up and stuck them in the freezer and then thawed them. I've never tried it. I guess it's possible.
Okay.
It's worth the experiment, maybe.
I just don't want rubbery eggs. You're making a face and I'm making a face. All right, let's take a break here. Again, our guest is Elaine Beck from State College Food Bank. When we come back, Elaine, I've got some heavier questions.
Okay.
I'm simply curious from, I mentioned, Thanksgiving, here it comes, Christmas, here it comes, busy time of the year, funding, again, state budget, federal, I can't imagine you guys are having fun right now because of all these things happening elsewhere. All right. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. All right. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Some good stuff we're going to talk about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here for Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
No, Elaine and I are both married to other people, so no, don't take that the wrong way, folks. It's Hooked on Classics, which I love, so there we go. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox on a gorgeous Wednesday morning. Scott here with you, and again, our guest, Elaine Beck from State College Food Bank. Thanksgiving and Christmas. Do I assume that's like the Super Bowl for you guys?
It is. We give out, because we distribute monthly, we back up a month for people that are coming so they don't have to make an extra trip to get their Thanksgiving. So we start our Thanksgiving distributions October 24th. And don't worry if people don't have room for their turkey, we have workarounds for that, but we start giving out Thanksgiving October 24th. So we are already ordering food. We have over 200 turkeys in our freezers waiting to go. So I think if people are feeling the holiday spirit early this year, we can always use holiday donations on the earlier end of things, probably before people. I mean, we started planning in August. I'm sure no one in August besides us were worried about Thanksgiving turkeys. Right. The grocery stores were.
Real quick, let's do it now. How do people donate? What do they do?
They can donate multiple ways. So if you're looking to donate in kind, we have a 24-hour drop-off room in our building. So if you have non-perishable items, holiday food or anything, we have a needs list on our website at scfoodbank.org. So if you want to pick some things up at the grocery store, every can helps. Every can makes a difference, especially in our client choice pantry, because we love to have variety. So it's okay if someone brings a can of Progresso chicken noodle soup and then another type of chicken noodle soup. That's okay. So you can leave those at our 24-hour drop-off room as long as it's a dry good and it's not perishable, right? I wouldn't leave a gallon of milk in there because there's not a refrigerator.
Right.
But if you do have perishable items, we will take them. They do have to be before their best buy or use by date. So we're not going to take expired milk or expired bread, right? It needs to kind of be within that date. And the question that always comes up are those turkey vouchers at the grocery store. So we do take the turkeys. So if you get your free turkey and you don't need it at Giant or whichever store it is, you can bring us the physical turkey, or you can turn your voucher in at the customer service desk. And they will collect them all, and then they write us a check for the money equivalent.
Okay, so don't bring you the voucher.
No, if you mail us the voucher or bring us the voucher, we're not allowed to redeem it. We'd have to give it back to you. So please make sure that you're either getting the turkey or giving the voucher to the customer service desk.
Of any of those local supermarkets.
Yep.
That runs that promotion.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. And you fully expect your numbers to go up. People getting food.
100%. They will. I don't know if they'll go up 100%. 100%. No, they will. No. They always go up this time of year. So last year, I said earlier, we were serving about on average 550 households a month. Last holiday season, we were serving over 600 to 650. So it's going to go up. I don't know what that's going to look like. At some point, we're going to reach a capacity for the number of people we can just physically fit through our building at one time.
I was gonna
right?
say, like, I was going to say, do you have a ceiling? Do you have a number like we can't go beyond that number?
I don't know what that number is yet, but I think we might figure it out this year. I don't know.
Why do you feel that way? Just an open-ended question.
It's just the feeling, I think, around everything that's going on with our government and our community. The need is growing. I know there's SNAP changes, so there was just a SNAP benefit change this past month. There's one coming in November. The last time they changed SNAP benefits, we saw a big jump in need. I think this holiday is just going to be harder. Everything costs more. Toys are going to cost more. People are just working so hard to make ends meet right now that I would just be shocked. I can't believe that there's not going to be more need, especially around the holiday. Life is just harder and money is tighter this time of year.
Okay. Now, again, we officially have a federal government shutdown for the last, 9.5 hours or something like that. And you mentioned SNAP benefits. Now,
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of arguing about this month and then succeeding months.
Yeah.
And so on. So food stamps, SNAP, same thing. Do you guys, do you take SNAP? Do you take food stamps? How does that work?
We don't.
You?
So all our food is free. So people don't need to use their SNAP. We do have a lot of people that come to us that have SNAP benefits. And that's why we only supplement about 2 weeks worth of food. Most people have SNAP or a job, right? So they can still purchase their food. We just like to supplement and help save some dollars there. SNAP, it's needed, and then price keeps changing. The amount and the people who are eligible has changed. So I think we're going to be finding people that either have lost a drastic amount or lost their SNAP benefits completely. And that's going to be hard.
Okay.
It's going to be hard, right? So if you were already getting, I'm picking a number, $300 a month in SNAP benefits to feed your family of four, and then you no longer have that $300 a month, how are you making that up? Right, that's a lot of money.
Okay.
It's not like your boss magically decided to give you a $300 a month raise. And if that was a pretty big part of your budget, it's going to have an impact. So I think those families, those individuals are going to be seeking our services if they're not using them already.
Okay. So yeah, so you're saying when this hits, which won't be I guess till the new year, I believe, the argument with, I guess, Republicans in Congress is there are some people getting SNAP benefits that really shouldn't be getting them. That they're saying they could go out and get a job or they could go do more work or something and make more money so that they don't have to get a SNAP benefit. And there's where the argument is. Is that accurate? Is that not accurate? But you're sort of thinking that no matter if it's accurate or not, your numbers are going up when they make this change.
Yes. 100%. If you're making a decision that's going to affect everyone, someone's going to be affected, right? It's going to, even the people that do need them are most likely going to be affected by it too. I'm not entirely sure all the intricate workings of it, but.
Okay. Now, again, this started 9 hours ago, all right? And we'll see how long it goes. State budget, we're still waiting 3 months past their deadline. Which has more effect on you, the federal thing or the state thing?
Directly the state budget. So we do receive some state funding. It's not money that hits our bank account. It's pass through kind of money on credit that we can purchase food with. So it's for our food purchasing cost. It's not a big part of our budget. It's less than 10%. But it's still, when food is more expensive and product is, we're needing more, every penny counts and helps. So not having that money is kind of, it's just making things a little bit harder as we head into the fall.
Okay. I mean, a very open-ended question, and don't sort of take this question the wrong way. Could your whole organization exist if you had no state or federal funding? Could you get by, or do you really, really need to have something? The way it's, set up or arranged and so on.
Ooh, that's a
that's
an interesting
deep
question to think about. I would say the State College Food Bank would figure it out. I'm not so sure a lot of the other pantries in our county could do that. They rely very heavily on their state funding and their state food. We live in an amazingly generous and special community that comes to our aid and supports us. So I am optimistic that I think if we lost all of those resources, I think our community would come to our aid to help us offset that difference.
Okay.
They've come to our aid before. They help us every day. Like, it is humbling and heartwarming to see the amount of support and generosity that our State College and Center County community bestows upon us. So I think we would be okay just because of where we are and where we live.
Okay. I agree with you. Yeah. And just the overall observation that we live in a great giving community.
Yeah.
That when the chips are down, they find a way to cover, or they find a way to rescue, or some similar term.
I don't think it's some like catastrophic, like we'd have to close our doors and end of the food bank world event would happen. It would make my life a lot harder, and our staff and our board would have to kind of pivot, but I don't think it would.
Now, again, you only deal here in Center County.
Correct.
You don't stretch out into other places.
We do not.
Like other counties.
We don't serve other counties, no.
I assume they have their own.
They do. Thing. So there's a kind of two different levels of state and federal funding that food pantries get in different programs. So there's the state food purchasing program, which I was talking about earlier, that's not been passed with the state budget. That money gets distributed throughout all the counties to, and the county government determines which pantries within their county are getting that funding, right? So in Center County, there's multiple pantries that get that funding. It's not just coming to us. There's one in Phillipsburg, there's one in Howard, one in Snowshoe, Belfont, and Center Hall. We partner and work with those pantries a lot. So we help support their Thanksgiving distributions. They know to call us if they need something, but they're also getting state funding through that food purchasing program. So none of those programs have gotten the money they would normally get this time of year to be purchasing a good portion of the food that they distribute. There's also the TFAP program, which is the Federal Food Assistance Program through the Department of Agriculture, USDA. That's a federal program that has been around for a very long time. It's the government food of the past, right? It's still around. It looks different and is better food maybe than what some people remember.
Okay.
Like those government cheese blocks. I don't know. Anyone listening might go, oh, I know those cheese blocks. They still exist.
But all right.
But
government cheese blocks makes me cringe, but all right, go ahead.
It should. No. They're kind of like Velveeta. But so that program, the USDA is purchasing food from farmers in the United States that have surplus, and they're giving that to the charitable food system. Right. So farms aren't closing, that food's not going to waste, and then it's going into the charitable food system. This program has been going for years and years and years. That food is just delivered to us, right? Like, we get an inventory, we know what's available, and we can order what we need out of that inventory, but it is free and it is brought to us through that federal program. So if that federal program were to stop, I think that would be another domino, especially for these smaller pantries, right? They're relying very heavily on their state food purchasing dollars and their federal TFAP food. And if both of those disappear, that's the majority of the food that they distribute.
Okay.
So I think for us, we are positioned at a point, because we have such a generous community, we have so much donated food. If that time were to come, I think we would feel obligated and want to help all those other pantries too.
Okay. I'm from Penns Valley.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Center Hall, I see the sign. It's there at the Grange Hall building.
There's two. There's that one, and then there's one down at the church down the street a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
One of them has a sign, okay, mm-hmm. next food distribution, and there's a date and a time or something. And I have driven past on that particular date, and I see a line of people, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, I feel fortunate. I feel very lucky. Now, you help them? How are you connected to them again?
We're just a friend. We're just a friend. We're not partner. I mean, we're collaborators and friends, and we work together, right? So we try to convene all as a group as much as we can quarterly to just kind of talk through things, but we're just there as a resource. So if we have surplus, a great example is like we get all this fresh produce from Sam's Club, right? You know, Sam's Club size packaging, right? If we get a whole pallet of grapes there's no way that we're going to be able to go through all those grapes before they go bad. Because they're already at the end of their lifespan, right? So we will call places like Center Hall, Snowshoe, Howard, those pantries and say, hey, we have a ton of grapes. Do you want to come get some? Oh. And they will come pick them up and distribute them at their pantry. So we're sharing our surplus that way. They also know, like I've had recent calls where they've called and said, I don't have any peanut butter. And before I spend my state food dollars or donor dollars, you guys have extra peanut butter. And if we have extra peanut butter, we give it to them because we firmly believe that we can't serve every single person in Center County through our doors. They can't get to us, right? It's a pretty big county. Right. Transportation is really hard. Gas is expensive. Like, we know everyone can't get to us. So if their local community pantry has what they need, then hopefully they're more likely to get food there too.
Okay. So you've got a very giving community, very mm-hmm. giving group. These outlying areas, I don't want to say they're not giving. That's harsh, but it's not the same. First off, it's not the same number of people.
Well, I was just going to say, just like physically, there's just not enough. It's not enough. It's just not the same number of people within their community.
Right.
To be giving. But it's also, we live in a very rural, once you're out of the State College area, it's a very rural county, right? There's just the number of people per square foot is not vast. So
I mean, read the tea leaves, Elaine.
Okay.
Look at the future. Do you think there's going to have to be some changes somehow in how various things are done so that this continues? Government funding, there are some people, if they had their way, I think they would pull the plug. You know, like, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
We can't afford this anymore, and so on and so on. Are you folks, like, thinking to the future? Like, maybe we're going to, you mentioned the word pivot. We're going to have to change in the way we do things. Are you thinking that maybe right now?
I don't know if pivoting right now is what we're doing, but we're definitely, like, preparing, if you will, for what could be the worst, right? Like, let's say, hypothetically, we lose all of that state and federal funding. I think for us, like I said, the State College Food Bank would survive, but the need within the county would also be greater from a like pantry standpoint, right? If all of those pantries lose their state funding and their federal food, I don't know what that would look like. So there's people within this county that might not be able to receive their food. So if they're not getting their food from their pantry in Phillipsburg, does that mean they're coming to us? Or do we need to help their pantry, right? So either way, there's a cost associated with that. So figuring out what our savings needs to look, how do we need to prepare? Do we need to be saving? Do we need to be looking for other alternatives? But so we can be ready if the time comes, but hopefully it doesn't.
I'm the pessimist.
I'm the optimist.
You're the optimist. I'll be the pessimist. You be the optimist. All right, wrap up.
Okay.
How can people help?
Oh my gosh.
In any way, how can they help?
I think it doesn't matter where you live. You probably have a pantry nearby, Center County or not. There's a pantry in your community, and I would say go find them and help them. Most of us, the State College Food Bank, everybody needs volunteers. Everybody needs financial donations, and everybody needs food donations. I can guarantee there's not a pantry in this country that couldn't use some extra help. So our website personally has the scfoodbank.org. We have a current needs list. So if you're looking to pick some stuff up when you're at the grocery store, an easy, great way to donate. You run to the grocery store, pick up an extra couple jars of peanut butter, swing by the food bank and drop them off. That's really helpful. Also, financial donations help us purchase things that look lesser. We can get kind of a broader purchasing product if we order in bulk. But we also need financial donations to run our operation. You know, we have these two wonderful walk-ins that are able to help us save all of these produce and all of these meat, save us donor dollars from spending on it, but we have to keep them cold, right? So we have to pay the electricity to run them. Like, that's a very important piece of the puzzle. So those donor dollars, well, running walk-ins doesn't sound as wonderful as buying turkeys. It's still, we got to keep those turkeys cold, right? So it's really helpful, those donor dollars.
Website again is?
www.scfoodbank.org.
scfoodbank.org.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody donate money through there, or
they
do
sure
they have
can.
To come see you?
They can. We have an online donation platform that they can donate online. It's right there. You can't miss it when you go to our website. And they can also mail us a check or stop by and come visit me at the food bank.
All right. Well, Elaine, thanks again for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
an opinion. You first off, you have a very busy season coming up, which is obvious, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I'm going to still be the pessimist. I mean, next year looks challenging. All right. I hope your optimist side is better than my pessimist
side. I hope it all turns out okay. At least in the food world, I hope we don't lose that state funding and those SNAP benefits and our federal programs.
Okay.
They're really important.
You ever get on the phone to like a legislator, like, would you please pass the budget or something like that?
I personally haven't, but I know there's some nonprofits out there ready to start who already are going for it. So.
Okay. All right.
We might get a little bit.
Load up the phone lines to Harrisburg, for goodness sakes. Well, thanks again for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. The Pumpkin Lady. She's wearing a pumpkin shirt. All right. Elaine Beck. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have just a few minutes of open line time if you want to chime in with your opinion. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home, decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House, a delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College, so if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Ah, the classics. The Ironhead's back tomorrow with the more upbeat stuff, so that's perfectly fine. Hey, you're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Scott with you again. Our buddy is doing a wrestling breakfast. Hey, those wrestlers, well, maybe not during in season. Do they eat? Maybe not all that much. Hey, I got to make weight. But in the off season, of course they eat. So he's doing a very fun event. He'll be back with us again tomorrow. All right, we got just a few minutes here, maybe about five or six. Yeah, five. 814-954-7266 if you'd like to chime in this morning. We'll mention tomorrow. We have a guest tomorrow from Penn State Ag Extension. And on the surface, our guest is a nutrition guest, But some of the things we kind of touched on a little bit with Elaine right there is, of course, the price for a number of items is, well, I mentioned meat. Again, if you haven't been to a supermarket lately, I'm scratching my head, really? Right? What food? Maybe you do one of those, I don't know, home delivery food places or what. Out where I live, there is no home delivery of anything except UPS and FedEx, and that doesn't count. That's something different. But, I mean, if you go past the beef aisle or the meat aisle in the supermarket and you take a look at some of the prices for meat right now, it's like, holy, what? I mean, that happened to me again yesterday. I've got this really great recipe that I came across. When I have time, I love to cook. And I thought, okay, I need meat for, you know, beef for this recipe. And when I saw the prices for beef, I just thought, I don't think so. Maybe I'll make something with chicken or something else. Because it's like, whew, whoa. Earlier this year, remember, it was eggs, $8 a dozen. Now, that's come way down, although I'm going to ask maybe our guest tomorrow. The price of eggs has kind of stalled. I'd like to think that with eggs, we've recovered from that avian flu. That was the main reason for the price spike, this fear of avian flu. And one chicken in a flock, it's avian flu, so we need to take out the whole flock, which I always thought was nuts. You know, like, really? So we had like a shortage, and that led to $8 a dozen for eggs and so on. The price has obviously come down, but I can remember before the craziness started, I could get, you know, a dozen eggs for $2 a dozen or less, like local or regional type eggs, $2 a dozen or less. Now it seems, at my observation, it's kind of stuck at like $3.50, which is like, I think, twice what it used to be not that long ago. And I'm thinking, okay, is $3.50 for a dozen eggs, is that like the new normal now? And it's never going to bring it down? We'll have to ask our guest that on that tomorrow. Hope she has an answer. And the idea is, okay, if beef is so expensive, what are some things you could do besides beef? All right, like beef substitutes or some such thing. So our guest tomorrow, we're going to talk about nutrition, but we're going to talk about, all right, some of these things, again, are so crazy expensive. What can you do in replacement for that? All right, and hopefully we all get some good information on that, because I'm thinking about it right now. So that's our guest tomorrow. All right, so tune in for that. Yes, things are crazy, dangerous. I might leave some of that, you know, the government shut down. Folks, nothing's going to happen today. Nothing's going to happen tomorrow. The last shutdown, again, was 7 years ago. And it went for, if I recall, it went for 35 days, went for 5 weeks. And seeing how far apart these two sides in Washington are right now, wouldn't surprise me if the entire month of October, going into November, before they finally have some kind of deal. In the meantime, there will be weird things happening, you know, in that span, especially if you're a federal government employee. Certain federal government employees, not all of them. Again, post office, your mail's going to be in your mailbox today. It's going to be there. If you get on a plane flight, the TSA people, you know, the security folks, they'll be right there. All right? They have to work. Military, yep, they've got to work. Border Patrol, yep, they have to work. So some folks have to work just like normal. Social Security, fine. Medicare, fine. Medicaid, fine. If you need to go to a VA for, you know, health care and so on, fine. It's all these other things. And if anything, maybe one thing that we learn from all this is how many other things are we talking about? Again, the federal government now is so big and so voluminous and so monolithic, has so many employees. Just and part of the question for me is, can the government somehow get by doing the things they need to do with fewer people? And I would like to think with technology and so on, the answer to that is, yeah, probably could. Now, I don't have any fast answers on this. All right, I don't. It's more of a feeling. And it's more looking at private companies and corporations. I mean, goodness, you don't have to do web searching for very long. These big, you know, companies and corporations, they've been slicing off jobs of different ways for different reasons. Now, again, before people start boo-hooing about federal government employees, I don't see anybody boo-hooing about private companies cutting off jobs. All right, I don't see that much boo-hooing. And I'm not trying to be too harsh here, but is there a balance there somewhere that, okay, we can do everything we still need to do. Maybe we just don't need to do it with that many people. Because we got a $2 trillion debt every year, and a trillion of that is just interest on the national debt. That's like burning money. Why are we doing this? Yeah, we're in a tough stretch right here. No doubt about it. How are we going to get through? We'll see. Hey, folks, beautiful Wednesday. Get out and enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox.
Fox Sports.
The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught.
It's the NFL, Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend, Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox.
Fox Sports.